The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, episode 426. Changed my number on my notes here, to be broadcast Wednesday, January 1st, 2025 on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment down here below. If you're listening to this on audio file, you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show or are listening on Facebook Live, you can comment below or you can send me an email. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel, which I promise I'll get updated. That's a New Year's resolution, by the way. Ron's Rant of the Week, 2024. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah, we got it all, man. It was 2024. I'm still struggling with medical issues. Oh, the good. I'm here talking to you, right? I think that's good. The bad. I'm still struggling with medical issues that prevent me from riding up a hill of any substance. Can we say like 4%? It's pretty bad. By the way, stairs are also a huge mechanical challenge for me. The ugly, see the bad. Yeah, yeah. It's all right there. Sorry to make it all about me, but you know, that's my 2024. I hope your 2024 is going better. I did have some highlights this year, so I will say there were some great highlights. The Best Buddies ride, oh my God, the Best Buddies ride. The domestique events, fun gravel rides, great stuff. Farm to Fork Fondos, great stuff. Again, wonderful people, wonderful organizations, both of those. Yeah, lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff as far as that goes. As the calendar inches closer to 2025, though, if you're listening to this today, not tomorrow, the top two names in UCI World Rankings are Tadej Pogačar and Remco Evenepoel. Big-time storylines for bicycle racing world. Tadej Pogačar wins the Triple Crown in 2024. Mark Cavendish becomes the winningest rider in Tour de France history. Costanza Niloma wins the Tour de France, the Tour de Femmes in 2024 by 4 seconds. 4 seconds. Bonus. Remco Evenepoel, 2024. Other positive side, American Kristen Faulkner wins the Olympic road race. Big surprise. Unbelievably cool race. If you didn't get a chance to watch it. Worth it. Great. Big shout out to Kristen Faulkner. And Chloe Dygert is third in the time trial. There's going to be more in the show. I'll get to that. Moving on down, Mechanical Minute and Ron's Tips of the Week. I'm going to have the top 10 cycling innovations that weren't like any other in 2024. Oh yeah, here we go. So let's start with that. Let's just start with that. Top 10. It's here somewhere. Oh dear, dear. There's so many things that were just so cool this year. And then there were others that weren't. But anyway, this comes from, this is a website. It's actually called New Atlas, and it had some interesting things in it. So I looked at their top 10 list, and it was pretty good. It's not meant to be the best list of cycling products in 2024. If you're into bikes, you've probably already seen a container ship load of such lists on other sites. And yes, we do have them, but these guys kind of had some interesting stuff that they observed because they're kind of on the outside looking in. Novell two-chain bike aims at rock-solid ride and rugged redundancy. The World Bicycle Relief has declared its Buffalo bicycle is the strongest available for rural terrain. Yeah, it's got not one, but two chains. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. That came out on July 9th. Hey, that happens to be my son's birthday. Pretty cool. There's another positive side that I missed. My son came out for Christmas. That was nice. That was really, really nice. Okay, number two on the list, and I have a funny feeling by this list, and I'm going to keep an eye on this, that I'm going to have a lot of things to talk about through 2025, because there's some kind of interesting stuff that I would like to explore a little bit deeper, but we just don't have enough time here today, folks. This wrap-up show of 2024 is it's packed with information, and I hopefully will get to it all, but if I don't get to it all, Fran and I are off to Florida on Saturday, so we're heading out of town, and when we head out of town, I'm hoping to maybe squeeze another show in before I leave, because I won't have time to produce it next week before the next show. So in whatever I miss today, I can always hit in a couple more days, so keep in touch with that if you're a Facebook Live person, but it will be broadcast at the normal time next week also. Plug and play bike wearables. Clip everyday shoes into clipless pedals. Interesting. We'll look into that. Like I said, there's quite a list here. Fox Live Valve Neo Electronic Mountain Bike Shock claims the world's fastest title. Electronic rear shocks for mountain bikes. Big selling points. New one-click valve promises to revolutionize bicycle inflation. The German manufacturer Schwalbe has revealed what it says will become the industry standard in bicycle valve systems. We'll dig into that a little deeper in 2025. Bike headlight goes wide for better, less obvious, obnoxious visibility. Some bike headlights are designed to get you seen by motorists, while others help you see the road. And so there's a new bike light called the Rail, the Light Rail, which we'll look into that. In-tire sensors, all right, sends real-time pressure readings to PSI conscious cyclists. No more to read on my computer, please. I have enough information. Well, anyway, it's there. And while you're at it, Shimano patents an electric self-adjusting cycling shoes. No more innovation. Did I say that before? That's kind of crazy. Really? Self-adjusting cycling shoes? Give me a break. They've been granted a U.S. patent on a wireless electronic cleat system for cycling shoes. Well, we'll see about that. Again, I will look into these, and hopefully I will report on these, because some of these were fascinating when I read them. World's first 3D printed titanium road bike set to enter production. Whoa, there we go. 3D printed bicycle. What do they think of next? What do we not have them? What do we need them not to think of next? How about that? Anyway, bizarre mountain bike pedals open an open design for less weight and more grip. These things are amazing. They look like a I don't know what they look like. They look like a bear trap or something. They look like they've just got this big, huge opening and just grips around the side. It's weird looking. Anyway, we'll talk about that. That was a piece that came out on December 1st of 2024. And then, of course, last on their list here is, and once again, we can explore all these things. Is the good news of this is I got all excited because I've got 10 episodes. that I can work on with the Ron's Mechanical Minute and cycling tips, because it's kind of cool. There's some cool stuff. So origami bike rack snaps into cargo basket in milliseconds. Yeah, like folds out and does things. Like we needed more cargo type bag things, but I guess we did, because someone made it. So anyway, those are the things that we will be talking about in 2025. They were the 10 top 10 cycling innovations that weren't like the others in 2024. And this came from, like I said, a site called newatlas.com. If you want a sneak peek on that, you can take a look at that and look up their top 10 cycling innovations. There's bound to be something of interest in there for all of us there here in the bicycle world. So let us move on. We're going to take these guys off the list. Boom, they are gone. And we go on to content. Okay, setting resolutions for your best cycling event year yet. We all have resolutions. We all say, I'm going to ride this much this year, or I'm going to take the Pedal and Run Challenge, and one day a week, I'm going to park my car or truck, and I'm going to ride my bicycle instead, whether it be to work, whether it be to the market, whether it be to dropping my kids off at school. Yes, that can be done, folks. It really can. You know, maybe this is your year. This could be it. This could be the big year, 2025. New year, new resolutions. At the gym that I work at the two gyms that I work at, because I teach fitness in both of those establishments, we refer to the people who come in with the grandiose idea that they're going to change their lives with fitness, which, you know, some of them do. Don't get me wrong here. It happens. It happens. Most of the time, it doesn't. But a lot of times, you know, or not a lot of times, sometimes you get someone who comes to the local gym or fitness center or community center, and they get themselves into a routine, and they start feeling better, and they get hooked. And, you know, Fran and I talk about this all the time on the show. What is the best exercise to do? Now, of course, the immediate answer you would think from Pedal and Run is ride your bike, right? Ride my bike. I love to ride my bike. Why do I love to ride my bike? Because I just love to ride my bike. It just feels right. So what the best thing for you to do is do the thing that you'll do. Simple. And Fran and I go over this back and forth all around. Now, we are both avid cyclists. We like to ride our bikes. We really enjoy our bikes. I discovered over the last couple of years that commuting on my bicycle has become a new passion of mine, because I just feel a sense of satisfaction that has really, really enlightened my cycling. I've been on my bike for a long time. Let me tell you, I'm not saying the thrill is gone. I'm saying that things change as you get older and as you start looking at the bicycle and maybe even the world from a different perspective, you tend to do things a little bit different. So, hey, there we go. Oh, the other thing I forgot to mention is Ron is also about to start a new job. Because, you know, when you're retired, you got to have another job, right? So I am going to be, and I was elected to the position of being the new registrar of voters in my town, which is great because it's a process that I believe in and will always believe in. And it's a demanding public service, of which I think is a good thing. Get involved in public service. Public service is, if you have the right personality for it, can be a really rewarding thing. If you don't have the personality for it, stay away, please. But anyway, I am drifting as I do. That's the bonus and wonderful advantage of ADD, is that you can just go off on tangents whenever you want, and hopefully people are entertained by it. But if you're not, I am so sorry. Let's go to setting resolutions for your best cycling event year yet. Because we all have these, you know, event years. We have goals and things we want to do. And I know a lot of people are really, really, really obsessed with miles. I'm not one of those guys. I used to be. See, things change. I said that earlier. I'm going to take a quick drink of coffee here. Sorry, it was getting a little dry. I'm more of an hours guy than I am a miles guy. So I look at everything by how much time I put in on my bicycle versus how many miles I ride. And everyone can be different. It changes your perspective a little bit. On a good day on my bike, then maybe I'll be riding a lot of miles, and maybe I'll just be doing a lot of hours. It really doesn't matter. I don't care how fast I go anymore. I don't care how far I go anymore. I just care that I'm out of my bike, and that's really the most important thing to me. And so, that's where I am as far as my best cycling event year yet. But anyway, you can set goals. And so anyway, there's a list here, all right, of things you can do. Look back before moving forward. Okay, reflect on your 2024 achievements. Which events did you enjoy the most? What challenges pushed your limits? And where is there room to improve, if you care to improve? These are insights to shape your goals for 2025. So, set goals with a purpose. Big one here. Huge, huge, huge. Create resolutions that inspire and motivate you. A great way to do this is to set SMART goals. Don't be crazy about it. Okay. Specific. Instead of saying I want to ride more, commit to I will complete three organized rides by June. Number two, measurable. Track progress, improving average speeds or weekly mileage, if that matters to you. I would say measurable by what you feel is important is what I would add to that. Achievable, focus on what's realistic for your fitness level and schedule. There it is, right there. Relevant, align your goals with events and challenges you're excited about. There it is, once again. Time bound. Schedule your goals such as training for an event this spring. So that is a great way to do it. And if you're looking at a local ride that you've always wanted to be in, but you just never got around to doing that, or you do that ride every year, but now you're looking at, well, gee, that's the level that I usually ride at. I wonder if I could go a little further. I wonder if I could go, a little faster, whatever it can be. You can change those goals. Embrace on new adventures. Put your finger on the map and go, I want to go there and ride my bike. That's an idea. Okay. I talked to someone the other day. They were it was in spin class, of course, and they were talking about different things to do and different goals, and they wanted to do something different this year. And I said, you know what a friend of mine did? My friend of mine hopped on the Montrealer, which is an Amtrak train which comes through this area or relatively close to where we live. And I think you have to go all the way down to the coast, or you probably have to go up to out to Hartford to be able to pick up the Montrealer. But they took their bike to Montreal on the train because you can do that, which is kind of cool. That's another bonus. And then they rode home. And that's a neat idea. Set yourself a goal. That's the old Eddie Merckx training method. He would take the train out as far as he possibly could think of that he might be able to make it home with, and then he would ride his bike back home for training. That's a little known Eddie Merckx detail, by the way, if you're into Eddie Merckx, but and I am. Okay, so embracing a new adventure. Maybe you want to take your mountain bike out to Moab and check it out. See what everybody's talking about. Pretty cool. Better yet, there's a lot of places out there. Durango is like unbelievable in Colorado. Unbelievable. It's beautiful out there. Go someplace you've never been before, but bring your bike with you this time. And I know it's going to cost you some money to get your bike there. And you might want to double check on that too, because there is a strong possibility you could find a bike that you're looking for there and rent it for the week that you're out there or whatever it is. Another thing to look at. Okay, celebrate the wins. Every milestone deserves recognition, whether it's your first century ride, your new personal best, or simply enjoying the journey. Share your success with fellow riders or celebrate with a recovery day at your favorite spot. Hence, tip a glass, or doesn't have to be alcoholic, can be regular, to with your friends, could be a cup of coffee like I have right here. You know, Billy and I like coffee. We're into the coffee thing. So anyway, yeah, celebrate. You know what I like to celebrate? I celebrate the idea that I'm here and I'm alive and I'm able to still do this stuff. And that's really, really cool because, you know, obviously if you've been following me long enough and you followed me for the last 3 years, you heard about my bump in the road, I think is what the episode was shortly after getting out of open heart surgery for a quadruple bypass. Yeah, it even happens to people who ride bikes. But great news is recovery is wonderful and it is achievable and you can get on with your life and you can amaze the medical staff at the the condition that your body is in because you've been riding your bike your whole life. It's really a great thing. Okay, moving on. See how I'm just doing the ADD thing. Sorry about that. So anyway, there's good things to look at. Setting resolutions for your best cycling year yet. Those are all good. I think I had another piece here, did I not? New rides, getting smart goals for 2025. There's just so many out there. And, you know, you can base it by the dates. You can base it on your calendar, a month-to-month approach, January, February. You focus on building your base fitness. Aim for 2 or 3 rides a week, gradually increasing duration rather than intensity. Indoor training sessions on platforms like Zwift can be particularly valuable, especially if you live in the cold zone like we do. Maybe you're going to go down and visit your mother-in-law in Florida for a few days. And yeah, I'm going to ride my bike just about every day I'm down there. And I at least hope to. We'll see. I have a bike waiting for me down there. It was Fran's dad's old bike, and I fixed it up enough so that I could ride it. And that's what I'm going to do. And then she has a bike waiting for her down there. So, and I think we also have a pump and a couple of tires that are waiting for us down there too, just because we weren't real sure what kind of condition everything was in. And I'll just check things over before we get out and ride. So anyway, March, April, you begin introducing some structured interval work in there. And if you're already in spin class and you've already got a base and, you know, you might want to, and you got somebody like me who's teaching nothing but structured interval work, that's a good time to do that too. Or if you are into that whole base idea that they talked about earlier in January, February, you can just go into spin class and watch everybody else suffer and you can sit there and get your base miles in. It's okay. There are no rules. There's no one screaming at you. Well, then again, there is SoulCycle. Don't even get me started. There is no one there screaming at you, telling you you have to work harder. You're a lazy you know what, and that's a terrible thing. No. If you go to a spin class that has an instructor like that and you feel offended by it, don't go there. Find a different instructor. Find someone who will be civilized with you, let's say, and realistic as far as your goals go. But anyway, moving on. That's March, April. You start adding in a little bit of speed work, a little bit of high intensity work, a little bit of, okay, I got to climb this climb work, you know, and I got to see if I can get over it sort of thing. So that's what you do in March, April. May, June, you're in season if you're up here in the Northeast. Now, if you're down in Florida, this is entirely different. If you're in Phoenix, Arizona, completely different. We're talking about places that are just so unbearably hot in the summertime, either that or unbearably hot and humid in the summertime, that things have to be modified because of your climate. talking to our folks and our friends, I have a couple of listeners down in Australia. You know, they're on a different time, complete time pattern and weather pattern than we are right now. So it's their summer, it's our winter. That's the way it works. But anyway, this is just general for what we're doing here. May, June, okay, so you're in your peak season. Maybe you have set up one of those big rides that you want to do in May or June, and this is the time to hit it. So go for it. That sounds good. July, August, you want to maintain your momentum with longer weekend rides. Take advantage of extended daylight hours. Consider maybe joining your local bike clubs, whatever they got, programs, rides, etc. Do that. September and October, you're going to focus on specific challenges like conquering iconic Irish climbs. Yeah, there you go. Sure, you got to go to Ireland for it, but you know, it's one of those things, you know. Or, you know, maybe it's something that's right in your backyard. Maybe you have a 23% nasty climb that you have been looking at year after year. You heard the guy down the street talking about it, and he goes, you know, every year, once a year, I go out there and I hit that thing because I gotta just tell myself I can do it every single year. Set yourself up with something like that. It's an idea. You don't have to go far for that. You know, you can just go a little ways down the road, enough to warm up. Please warm up before attempting an event like this. Make sure you have your doctor's permission to do something like this. And then, you know, nail it. See what you can do. Worst case scenario, you get partway up and you tip over. Been there, done that. It can happen. But anyway, or you have to put your foot down or whatever it is. But please be careful with whatever you do. November, December, now we're starting to, I'm actually going to push in here in September, October. I'm also going to talk about cyclocross, because cyclocross is a great way to transition from all those great summer miles you have on your legs, and now you want to do something relatively useful with them, but being outside for more than an hour or two is a little bit more than you had planned because the weather's starting to dissolve. Other things that can happen in September, October around this area, besides cyclocross, is the foliage. It's beautiful here. It's New England. We are over in the northeastern corner of the state. It is probably one of the prettier places you're ever going to ride your bike. I'm going to be bold with that statement, but I only am bold with it because I was in the bicycle industry for so long. I had a number of people come from all over the country to come here and ride my sales route with me and then take them out for bike rides afterwards, and they just were blown away by what we have up here in the northeastern corner. Now, that does not mean that we want everyone moving to the northeastern corner. I tell people it's Connecticut's quiet corner. Shh, don't tell anyone about it unless they ride a bike, and then we'll take all the cyclists we can get here. It's great. It's great. Anyway, set us November, December, you're going to transition to a maintenance mode, maybe set a couple of new goals for the following year, see what you need to do it. Maybe you need to take a time off. Maybe December is the time that you go, you know what? The bike was getting heavy and I just needed to set it aside. Or I'm just going to use my bike for running errands around town, but I'm not going to get serious about anything anymore because, you know what, it's just too late in the year and the weather's starting to deteriorate and, you know, lots of things happen. So just be smart with your goal setting strategies. Just remember, smart is good. So the list here is specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Those are all super things to keep an eye on. Training tips for success, progressive loading, recovery matters, nutrition, cross-training, and track your progress. So all really, really great suggestions here. Yeah, today is New Year's Eve. Tomorrow is New Year's. If you're listening to this on WHUS, 91.7. You're listening to this on New Year's Day. This is, well, it's the New Year show. That's what it is. All right, let's move on because I am running out of time rapidly and there's so much to talk about. Here we go. Let's see. My next step on my list here is the bicycle industry. What's going on in the bicycle industry? Everything is going on in the bicycle industry. Kona, Trek, and GT, big time stories that happened as far as that goes. Let's see here. So Trek bicycle leak news about right sizing in March. Kona bicycles sudden pause at the Sea Otter Classic and followed by the brand's rebirth by its founders. Those are a big deal. And then Palm Bike's decision to pause its GT bicycle brand also generated a traffic spike on bicycle retail and industry news' site and their trade magazine, which comes out, which is where I get a lot of my my information about the bicycle industry. There's so much going on. So on May 20th, Kona, their original founders, reclaimed the brand. On the 5th of March, Trek talked about the right size program with 10% spending cuts. Pond paused GT brand on December 17th of this year, right? This is just this month. Stages cycling executives joined Giant after a suit and apparent shutdown. Colorado Cyclist and Planet Cyclery promote closing sales. Pros Closet reopening with a new owner and familiar managers. Seven on the list here. Trek begins direct sales with Consumer Choice Program on July 3rd. Number eight, Specialized names Armin Landgraf, the CEO, on March 15th. Founders buy back GCN, Global Cycling Network. One of my favorite places to go. I love Global Cycling Network. Beat Zog says he's still the CEO of Scott, despite an announcement on April 1st. Specialized opens new DC in September 25th. Cannondale reduces their workforce on April 30th. Rafa closes his office in Bentonville on April 25th. Key tariff exclusions will expire on June 14th, and they did. The new normal is a lot more normal than you think. BMX Hall of Famer Harry Larry died at 65. BMX. Remember BMX being like the little kid sport? A 65-year-old has now passed, unfortunately. Then we go on here to... that's it. That's my bicycle retailer list, but there is another piece I wanted to talk about real quickly while we're into the whole bicycle business and what the new tariffs could mean to the bike industry. And this was originally an article that came out in early December, but this is a rehash right now on this. So just really important to understand what's going to happen when President-elect Donald Trump comes in and he's talking about tariffs of 60% on Chinese goods and 10 to 20% on imports from other countries. Well, guess what, folks? We just don't make a whole lot of things bicycle here in the United States. So this does have a direct reflection and definitely a thing to watch out for. 90% of bicycles come from China, okay? Just to put this into reality, just so you know. So not to mention product that goes on bicycles coming from same area. There's going to be a lot of scrambling going on if this does go through. I'm saying if because I am not completely confident that much of it can go through. We've heard this before. we are getting a repeat of what we saw 4 years ago. And we see what happened. And yeah, it's a hell of a wall, isn't it? Sorry, I made a comment. I probably shouldn't have. But anyway, some things just don't happen. Some things are just fodder for the cannon. And that's how, unfortunately, some people get elected. They get elected on false promises. And so that's sad. That's very sad. One thing I can say, and probably one of the saddest parts of what is going on with changes going on here in this country right now, is we are about to lose probably the best transportation secretary we have ever had in this country. And Pete Buttigieg will be stepping down with the new administration, I am certain. I don't think that he will be staying. Did amazing things for us. Between Buttigieg and Biden, they made some huge financial commitments to infrastructure. And when you make big commitments to infrastructure, it means big bonuses to people on bicycles. So anyway, short-term impact. Tariffs increase costs on the domestic industry. Importers pay them, and that cost gets passed on through the system. Yes, it is true. Tariffs cost you more money. This isn't rocket science. This is not even high-level economics. It's 101, baby. This is the way it works. If you increase the cost of things that a company is making that they are selling to you, they will pass that cost on to you. They're not going to be generous about it. Why would they do that? Why would they put them in a position, themselves in a position to go out of business just to take care of you, the consumer? Doesn't work that way, okay? They need to cover their costs. They need to raise their prices. This is the way it really works. So it's very appealing to hear the banter that's going on, but it is not necessarily the direction that is best for all of us. I said all. I didn't say some. I said all. And, you know, this is definitely a thing that's going to be happening. Everybody is suffering today trying to sell bikes and inventory at 2020 prices. It's just not going to happen anymore. That's all there is to it. Heather Mason, the president of the National Bicycle Dealers Association. Hey, Heather, if you're listening. Said existing tariffs and price increases have already squeezed the retailers. The cost of bikes is rising, putting pressure on our sales, and the tariffs have made it very challenging for brands, retailers, and consumers. She is worried about the future increases and how the industry will handle them. She quotes, "We can't keep pushing margin cuts on retailers as it impacts their ability to make enough money to cover their operating expenses. However, increasing retail MSRP impacts the market and may make some bicycles unreachable for some." So that is a problem. When I owned my business, I did not go to business school. I went to the school of learn by doing. And I just kind of put it together and figured it out. And so I say that I got a great, I got a wonderful degree in economics simply by owning a small business. And it's challenging. You learn a lot. You learn by making a lot of mistakes. And as you make those mistakes, you try not to repeat them. And that's how you succeed in business. And so that's what I did. And I spent 44 years in the bicycle industry. Not going to say that they were all profitable, but there were some years which were better than others. But you do have to always watch for trends and seeing other things that are going on. Things like tariffs make a difference. And to readjust, I had a dealer call me. Same dealer called me that called me just before the pandemic. He called me before the pandemic and he said, "I don't know what to do. I'm freaked out. I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to get product. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to sell the product I have. I don't know what direction to go." And I looked at him and I said, how much available cash do you have? And he said, well, I've got a fair amount. I was going to buy a building and it fell through, so I've got some cash. I said, buy every last penny of that cash. Buy everything you can get your hands on and stockpile it and trust me. And he said, well, Ron, I'm calling you because you always gave me good advice. He goes, I hope you're right. I'm going to do it. And he threw all his money into that and called me 6 months later and said, well, that worked. I'm out of product, but that really worked. That was a really, really smart thing. So he says, what do I do now? When he calls, when the tariffs are about to go, I said, remember that available cash story I had with you before the pandemic? There it is. Buy as much as you can, stockpile it, sit on it, wait. And it will go away and you will have an advantage because you'll be in a position for higher profit margin and you will also be in a position for having availability when maybe somebody else doesn't. So, you know, there you go. That's my friendly words of advice. I am running out of time. I have too many other things to talk about. So we're going to move on this. I may bring this up on our extended episode, which I'll be running probably in a couple of days, and we will move on. But I have so much more to talk about, so we're going to have to move on. There's a great article about bicycle industry investments, why 2026 could be a turning point. We'll hit that one another time. And anyway, there's just a lot. There's so much. Okay, bicycle racing. Let's go to bicycle racing. Quick switch here. I've still got a little bit of time. Still got about 15 minutes left here. The Paris Olympics. Okay, Paris Olympics were in, yeah, Paris. What did that mean for the Tour de France? No Champs-Élysées. Big deal this year. Big, big deal. So when is it that the Tour de France doesn't finish on the Champs-Élysées? It's iconic. It's classic. And this year, they had to finish somewhere else. So that was, and it's so in my mind that somewhere else, that I can't remember where it was, but there it is. It wasn't in Paris. So, but we did have the Paris Olympics. Okay, moving on in bicycle racing, a couple of other things, and we'll go back to the Olympics on this. Tadej Pogačar, what more can we say? I mean, he won the Triple Crown in 2024. He won the Giro. He won the Tour de France. He won the, what was number three? What was number three? Does anybody remember what number three was? He won the World Championships. That was it. Okay. For those of you who are trying to come up with it really, really quickly, yeah, that's what it was. He won the World Championships. One, two, three. Who else has done that? Eddie Merckx has done that. There's a couple of others out there that have done that. Not very many. Not very many. He's in an elite group right now. Let's talk a little bit more about... So, Binyam Girmay. Who is Binyam Girmay? Binyam Girmay was the first African cyclist to win the green jersey in the Tour de France. The man can sprint. He is possibly, and I don't want to take away from Mark Cavendish, but one of the more personable sprinters I have ever seen in bike racing. You can't not love this guy. He was very animated. He was very easy for the press to talk to, and he was the first African to win a green jersey. And he won a whole bunch of stages. He got all the points by the end. Way, way, way cool. Speaking of Cav, Cav broke the record for the most number of wins in the Tour de France, beating Eddie Merckx's record by one race win. And I believe we're hoping maybe that Cav has gotten the point here that maybe it's time to like do something different, you know? I mean, you're going to struggle to win another one of those. I just don't see it coming, but, you know, he's still on a team, last I heard. I don't know what's going on there. We shall see, I guess. But anyway, yeah, Mark Cavendish definitely a big, big deal. What else do I have here? Oh my God, there's just so much that has gone on this year. We go back to the Olympics and let's see here, Tour de France 5. Oh yeah, that's that. All right, let's go back to the Olympics. Let's take a quick look. I'm going to go over some American riders here, primarily because, I am broadcasting from the United States, and most people in the United States have absolutely no clue whatsoever what cycling is. So I will shout out Chloe Dygert, who won the women's individual, did not win. She was third in the women's individual time trial behind Australian Grace Brown and Great Britain's Anna Henderson. But anyway, bronze medal and cycling road, men's individual time trial, Remco Evenepoel. Yeah, Remco Evenepoel has been kind of like riding in the back seat of Tadej Pogačar and others that have been exceptional in these long road races, these classic road races. And but he went on in the Olympics to win the individual time trial, followed by Filippo Ganna, who is also Filippo is also a great rider, and Wout Van Aert from Belgium, who was third in the individual time trial. The men's road race, guess who? Remco Evenepoel. He won them both. He won them both. That's a big deal. From France, it was Valentin Madouas for second, and from France, Christopher Laporte in third in the men's road race. And then the cycling road race. If you did not see this, I said this earlier. If you did not see this, go back, find it on YouTube, wherever it might be. There's got to be some coverage out there that you could watch with the highlights. American Kristen Faulkner fought and fought and fought and drifted back and charged back in and just like put out possibly one of the most heroic rides I have seen in all of women's cycling. And this is the year of women's sports, by the way. I live in Mansfield Stores, and it's all about this here right now. She passed Marianna Vos and Lotte Kopecky, who were playing the old cat and mouse before the finish line game, which is one thing that really irritates me about the whole women's cycling scene. I just find it to be predictably, it's going to be this person or this person winning the race because this is what they do. And there's not the aggressive behavior that sometimes you see in other aspects of the sport. Kristen blasts by them. They let her go. They let her go. Stupid, stupid move. Let me tell you something, all you aspiring bicycle racers that are out there, men, women, kids alike. If someone goes flying past you in a situation like that and you do not get on their wheel, you just got second. You just lost the race because you know what? There's something going on there and they might blow up. It's possible. They might blow up. They might get, I don't know, less than a mile from the finish line and explode. But if you are on their wheel, you are going to be the person who wins that race, probably. It doesn't always happen, but if you're not taking chances, then you're not really racing your bike. My words, okay? So anyway, Kristen Faulkner, you're my hero. You're my hero, man. You did the impossible, and I was like so impressed. It was a great race to watch. I've talked about it on the show before. Good stuff. There was some great Olympics out there this year in cycling. So and there's just so many good things that have happened in cycling this year. It's just been great. Let's see if I can find but one of my favorites in the Tour de France, other than Cab winning 35, whatever, or surpassing or whatever, and doing his thing, which was sort of expected that it might eventually happen was Benny McGourmet. I mean, what a pleasure this guy was to watch. What a pleasure it was to listen to him in interviews. I remember Cav when he was young, like this guy, like this kid. They're all kids in my world, folks. Sorry, I'm old. This kid, when he was with Cav, was his age. Cav was not my favorite rider. I was not real impressed with the attitude and the he just had this I'm sorry, sprinters, if you're out there. If you're out there, you don't have to be that person to be a sprinter, okay? Just saying, that's all. The roadies tend to be a little bit more humble, let me put it that way. But this guy, Benny McGourmet, wow. He was just happy to be there, and he was wonderful. And again, YouTube videos will give you follow-ups on that sort of thing. Benny McGourmet is just, he is a pleasure to see out there. And so following a crash in Nîmes on Tuesday, this was during the tour, Gourmet's position was briefly threatened by Jasper Philipsen, but Gourmet ultimately finished the tour with a 33-point lead over Philipsen. The cyclist won the green jersey with a total of 387 points, followed by Philipsen and Brian Coquard. Arriving in France, Gourmet was met by numerous Eritrean fans, cheering him on with chants of beanie, beanie, beanie. So very cool. It's very emotional. I was just thrilled with it. And again, there's all sorts of things out there. If you're looking for little YouTube clips, if I could have picked someone that I really would have wanted to win, it would have been him, because he does a lot for cycling. His comment, he told reporters, it was a dream come true, having watched the Tour de France on television when he was growing up. For a long time, we have been a part of cycling, but to have three stage wins in the green jersey is something special, he said. For Africa, and especially for Eritrea, I am just really grateful to have this jersey and want to thank you to my nation. Say thank you to my nation. So cool stuff. Way cool stuff. Big time. Running out of time. Speaking of time, we are totally running out of time. So we're going to have to wrap this up. And I can tell you, I got so much room for another show after this. So keep in touch. I'm going to try to produce something before we head out to Florida this weekend. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Not even mentioning Matthew Vanderpoel and his return to cross, and Wout Van Aert, and he's returning to cross. There's just amazing, amazing stuff going on right now. So finishing points. What a year. So much to wrap up. I could hardly fit it all in, and I didn't. So we'll, to be continued is what we're talking about here. So how was your 2024? More miles, ride and commute to work or around town, better fitness, or simply enjoying the rides you took more by slowing down and smelling the roses? I'm going to say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. I'll say it by stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride, and just ride your bicycle. This is a good thing. And hey, take that pedal and run challenge. Consider parking your car for just one day per week, okay? And ride your bike instead. You just might surprise yourself. This holiday season, please be safe and be kind to one another. I just can't tell you enough about why I am so in love with the idea of cycling and in love with my bike. I tell people this all the time. I get on my bike, my hands are on the handlebars, I'm riding down the road, and the world is right. It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful escape from what's going on in your life. If you need a break, go out and ride your bike, man. It's great. It's great. It will take you to places that you never have dreamed. I had a dream when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. I dreamt that I really, really, really wanted to someday ride my bicycle across the country. I took a chance. I worked for a couple of years out of high school because I couldn't really make a college decision. My problem, not anything else there. I just couldn't get it together to stay in school. I had undiagnosed ADD and found school to be way more challenging than I wanted it to be. So I stopped and took a break, and I worked construction for a few years, and I made some money. And when I was 20 years old, my friend Brad Wagner and I hopped on our bicycles, and we rode our bicycles 4,000 miles back and forth across this country. Basically, we kind of zigzagged at the very beginning and then eventually headed straight west. But it is the most rewarding thing I think I've ever done in my life. I'm sure there are other things that I'm going to get yelled at when people hear this, but it set my sights on where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. And I spent 44 years in the bicycle industry, and part of it owning a bicycle store for 15 of those years, other parts working in bike shops for about 3 years, a couple different bike shops doing repairs and working as a mechanic, which is where I started out. That's where I started when I got back from my cross-country trip. And it was just, it was the beginning of my life and everything that I do. I graduated on to doing other things like coming up with this show. Big, huge shout out to Fran Storch, my lovely. She was the person who gave me the push I needed and got me set up with this and got me set up with WHUS. And off we went into the Bicycle Talk world, of which I am in right now and I am talking to you about. So anyway, ride your bike. It really could save your life. It's all true. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, the management, or the licensee of the station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She's at work. If you're watching this on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment below, or you can send an email to me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. If you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, we're going to get that figured out in 2025. Send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedal and Run. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. Saved mine. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Happy New Year to you all. Be safe, be happy, and keep smiling and riding your bike. Thanks for listening. Get on your bikes and ride!